If you would, go to 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel chapter number 3.
1 Samuel chapter 3. I appreciate that song. It goes quite well with the thoughts that I have here this morning. When I think about dedication, I can definitely see here in the book of Samuel a life starting with his mother, with Hannah, and the dedication that she had in wanting to have a child and God giving her a child and then dedicating him to the Lord and making sure that he had everything that he needed to, you know, succeed spiritually speaking. And it's funny in the Bible how there's different illustrations, there's different stories in your Bible that are connected. And there's a few men in the Bible that have a similar upbringing than what Samuel had. And it's funny, I believe that these three illustrations, if I could just give you a couple of illustrations real quick and get out of the way, they kind of show us different levels of dedication and what that produces in life. The first man, if you think about it, his name is Esau. And in Esau's life, he comes in from the field and he's hungry and he's weary, and he comes in and he sees his brother and he says, I need some of that pottage that you've got cooking, right? And you know what? Esau, he's not dedicated to anybody but himself. He has a birthright and gladly gives up the spiritual birthright, right, in order to satisfy his own appetite. I don't know about you. I've seen people like that. You probably know people like that. They're not dedicated to the Lord, and their life is just consumed, right? It's just controlled by their own appetites. Whatever they want at the moment, that's what they're controlled by. Not only that, but he convinces himself that he really doesn't need the Lord. See, he's got it all wrapped up in his mind. See, I'm going to get the blessing. So what does it matter if I give up the birthright? And as he goes through, he waits to the end of that thing. And you know what the Lord does? The Lord allows him to be treated just like he treats the Lord. And he gets forgotten and he gets deceived. And the Lord, and he misses out on the blessing. And so Esau, what he does is he just becomes consumed with bitterness. And that's the way he lives his life. I don't know about you. Ever met somebody that lives their life like that? Bitterness and just consume with that thing, and they can't see past the fact that somebody did them wrong. They can never see the thing that they did wrong in the situation. Right? That's really the way bitterness is, isn't it? It's the fact that you can't see past your problem, the thing that you had to do with it. And so what you do is you focus on what other people have done to you. No dedication to the Lord. Dedication to himself. We see partial dedication in the life of Samson. Again, similar upbringing, mom barren, and the Lord touches her, and he's given this great blessing of being a Nazarite. And you know, over in Judges, it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord began to move on Samson at times. The Lord wanted to move on Samson. The Lord wanted to use Samson. But you see, Samson, he was partially dedicated to what God wanted him to do. But yet he still wanted to kind of do his own thing. He was still interested in having the pleasures and having the joys that he wanted, but he wanted to have God where he could control where God was in his life. I've been there before. I don't know about you. Have God in his little box, and then I live my life over here and I take God out when I need him. And it shows us in the passage what that produces in his life. It shows us that he starts to reflect the image of the surroundings that he's in. He's like Reuben. He's unstable as water. He just takes the form of whatever container he's in. He relies on his intellect rather than spiritual wisdom. That's why he's always talking in riddles and trying to get people to stumble in an intellectual realm. He wants to be known as the smart guy in the room. You see, he only reaches out to God when he needs something. Sometimes we use the Lord like a vending machine. Sometimes we use Him and we say, Lord, I need this right now. And if you don't give it, well, what I'll do is I'll pound and I'll shake this thing until the thing pops out. Because that's what I need. That's what I want. And so I have God over here, and He exists for my comfort and my benefit and my pleasure, and not the other way around. You see, his life ends in a sad fashion. His life ends, and I would be remiss. I've seen in this thing now, I've been going for a little while, and I've seen people in church, and I've seen some folks come to the end of their life. And you know what I've seen? I've seen people that have been partially dedicated to the Lord and just used God and used people, and they come to the end of their life and they die miserable. And you know what they do? They sit there and they say, "Where's everybody at?" Well, you've done used everything up. And Samson, he gets to the end of his life and he just wishes that he could do a do-over. "Lord, I need you now." Partial dedication. But in 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we have the story that's presented to us. And you know what? It's funny because what I first see here is that Samuel, yeah, he was dedicated to the Lord by his mother. But I know this, dedication to the Lord is a choice that you have to make. It cannot be transferred by somebody else. It's a decision that you and I have to make. Listen, I deal with young people a lot of times, and you know what the hardest thing to do is for them to kind of to make that transition from, I'm in my mom's house, I'm in my dad's house, and they're making me come to church, and I was drugged to church and everything else, and then for them to transfer that kind of dedication into their own life, that's a hard thing for them. And that's a hard thing for all of us. Some of you got great preachers and you got great churches and stuff like that. And it's hard for you to sometimes divorce yourself from, you need to have a relationship with the Lord and a dedication to the Lord that's not attached to anybody else. That's not transferable. Those are decisions that you and I have to make on a personal level. And everybody comes to that precipice on their own time and in their own way. And God has to bring you to that place where you said, "You know what, Lord, there's nothing else in this world that matters to me except for you." I thought that that was something that happened one time. I thought that that was a decision that we made one time. And I've realized in life that a lot of times those decisions are something that we have to make multiple times in our lives. And Samuel, he lives a life out of being one of the greatest prophets in your Bible. Gets to anoint kings, preach great sermons, lead a nation, well respected. And when he goes to the grave, he's mourned by the masses because of his testimony, because of his love and his dedication to God and to his people. Now you would think, if you could take those three lives and put them next to each other, you would think, If the choice was given to you, which one would you pick? And you would think, everybody, "Well, I want to be like Samuel." Right? That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. I want to be like Samuel. I want to be that respected man that's dedicated to God. And I would like the pomp and circumstance and all the things that come when I'm gone and people can say nice things about me and my dedication to the Lord and what I've done for the Lord. But can I say this? That decision did not come without its own set of tests. Because there's one thing I've learned in my life about dedication is that it's not just a decision, like I said, you make one time, but it's a decision that is tested throughout the years. Your dedication is not just something that you decided many, many years ago and just now you're still as dedicated as you were then. The fact of the matter is your dedication throughout your life is going to be tested. There's going to be things that come up. And the Lord's going to say, "How about that decision we made a couple years ago?" The Lord's going to make you check up on some things. And yeah, it's a no-brainer decision, but I say this, it was a lot harder of a decision than some of us give it credit for. Do you ever maybe consider that Samuel, he had the problem where he had to submit to an authority that he knew was flawed? You want to test your dedication? Get underneath somebody and get around some folks or be in a church setting. And guess what? The people that you respect the most, you find out that they're human. How do you think Aaron and Hur felt? As dedicated as they were to Moses, as dedicated they were to holding up his hands, do you don't think that their head was right in the center of his humanity? Hallelujah. But you want to know something? I see Christians and I see preachers tested all the time. And the moment that they see somebody in authority that they have to submit to, they find a flaw in them, they say, I can't do this anymore. They don't do it my way. And you know what? Your dedication is being tested. And that's a hard one for you to swallow. It's a hard one for anybody to swallow. Listen, I know not everybody here is a pastor. You're not a number one. You're a number two, number three. Maybe you're a number 70-something. I don't know. But you want to know something? All of us here have to submit to somebody. And if that person that you're submitting to in God's chain of command has red blood coursing through his veins, you're going to find a flaw with him. And God will test your dedication right there. Not only that, he had to endure the ridicule of his peers. You think Hophni and Phinehas just let him off when he said he didn't want to partake in the foolishness that was going on in the temple? No, absolutely not. Oh, you big goody two shoes. You think you're something special. You think you're something else, and you're not going to hang out with us. You're not going to do what we're doing. And now all of a sudden that the people that he thought was his friends, they now have an opinion about his consecration, and now he's wanting to get serious, and they're making fun of him, and they're ostracizing him. And guess what, folks? I don't care how good a Bible believer you are. Guess what? You still don't like it when people make fun of you. You don't like to be the one alone at the table, at work, at lunch, when everybody else doesn't want to sit next to you because you're crazy. Am I right? No, I'm the only one here that doesn't like to be, people think I'm an idiot. No, none of us like that. But you want to know something? The Lord will do that. And he'll test how dedicated you are. Because you feel the pressure the minute you go to a restaurant, the minute you sit down at work and you bow your head to pray for your food, and you go, who's looking? You mean you're dedicated because you're going to stand up for the Word of God, but you can't pray in public? It's amazing to me. We're so manly. Right? But some of the smallest things will test to just see how dedicated we are. The last thing I want to give you this morning, because I believe the folks that traveled down here and the folks that are here on a Friday morning, you've made a decision to want to be dedicated. I believe you have a desire you want to be dedicated. I don't question that this morning. I don't think I'm talking to a bunch of Esau's. I'm probably not talking to a bunch of Samson's. But there's probably some Samuels in here. And you know what he had to realize? He had to be patient in his routine. And so he's doing the same thing over and over again. And problems come. And trials come. And heartaches come. And losses come. And now all of a sudden he said, Lord, I thought I was dedicated to you. And now this is going on. And I don't know why this is going on in my life because I'm dedicated to you. What in the world is going on here? You see, it's not easy when you've dedicated your life to the Lord and all of a sudden the things you hold dear start to fall out from underneath you and the things that you thought were going to end a certain way start to slip through your fingers and you can't control the things you wish you could control. I try not to be too personal this morning, but I tell you, it's been one of the hardest years of my life. And I remember back, I take it to the spot in Owl's Head, New York, where God said, you sick of this thing you're doing up here? This life you're living, this nominal thing you're doing up here, are you tired of this yet? And I remember, I can take you to the spot underneath that pine tree with that fluorescent light shining down on that next to that water fountain. And God said, I think you should go to Bible school. And I said, Lord, I'm sick of this life that I'm living right now. You know what? I'm signing up. If I was at some contemporary thing and I said, if this is what preaching is, I better learn how to preach because these guys ain't going to do it. Listen, I don't mean that to be arrogant. That was just a stupid 18-year-old kid. That's what went through my mind, okay? And I packed my car and I drove 26 hours to Pensacola for it. And God changed my life that day. And it's not been the same since that day. Let me tell you something. I got a wife up home right now, and she's probably in bed because she can't get out, because she can't walk, because the pain in her lower back and shooting down her legs. And I know everybody in here can diagnose her. I understand that. We've been to 5 doctors, and none of them can figure out what's going on. And a lot of times she's bedridden. And she won't take pain medication because I've buried her father and I've buried her brother. And it all started from taking pain meds, and she won't do it. And I come home, and she comes home back from physical therapy, and she cries, and she hits the bed, and that's about all she can handle for the day. And I'm cooking, and I'm cleaning, and I'm letting the laundry pile up. Yeah. Sometimes you're just better off wearing dirty clothes, you know? But there's been times in my life in the last few months, you know what I've had to do? I've had to go back to that place in my own mind. I said, Lord, I just want you to know I don't understand why things are going on the way they are. And I don't know why things are the way they are. But I know this. I'm still dedicated. I remember that day in Owl's Head, New York. And brethren in here this morning, sisters in here this morning, you're going through stuff and you're saying, is this how you treat your dedicated servants sometimes? And listen, I try to put a happy face on sometimes, but sometimes this thing just ain't very happy. But you know what I have to do? One of my favorite messages Dr. Ruckman ever preached, and I've listened to it many times since then, is getting back to Bethel. Getting back to that place where it's, Lord, I remember when I dedicated things to you, and Lord, I just want you to know I'm not going anywhere. And God, I dedicated my wife to you when I married her, and I dedicated my kids to you when they were born. And God, whatever it is that's going on, I don't know the end. I don't know what's going to happen yet. We're still in the rollout phase. But I just want you to know, God, I'm dedicated to whatever is going on. And however you see this thing through, or however it gets worse or gets better, I just want you to know I'm not going anywhere. It's not the time to quit. It's the time to hunker down and stick with it. And I know it's easier said than done. But you know what? Our dedication wouldn't be worth anything if it wasn't tested. And I believe that that's exactly what the Lord does to us. And we learn that in the life of Samuel. And if you were to ask, if we could bring up Esau, if we could bring up Samson, and you could ask them right now, hey, could you make another decision? You know what they'd say? Esau would say, I sure wish I had dedicated my life to the Lord. Amen. Samson would say, you know what? I sure wish I would have dedicated more. I wish I would have gone gung-ho from the get-go. You bring Samuel up, and he'd say, man, all the testing, all the trials, all the heartache. Can I just say this? I'm sure glad I was dedicated to God because He did it all the right way. Amen. Amen.